Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Athletic released an in-depth article yesterday detailing some drama inside the Mavericks front office, basically centering on a guy that Luka Doncic doesn't sound like he's fond of. It's Sean and RJ. Headlines on a Tolo Tuesday. Your chance to win $1,000 is coming up for being a Tolo. That stands for Turn It On, Leave It On, DFW's Sports Station. This article centers on someone named Bob Vulgaris, a well-known sports gambler that Mark Cuban hired in 2018 to provide analytics, a different side, a different way of viewing the game. This article alleges that Vulgaris was making draft picks, ignoring scouts, deciding lineups and rotations for Rick Carlisle, ticking off Luka, and confusing other teams around the league who didn't know who to call and deal with when it came to the Mavs. Is Donnie Nelson second in command? Is he in charge of basketball operations? Is it Cuban? Or is it this guy, Bob Vulgaris, the center of this piece?
Man, this is a wild, wild piece. And I think the correct answer is, you know, Donnie Nelson still is in charge of a lot of things, most things. But you have a guy here with, evidently, if you believe this, you know, quite the influence. And, you know, maybe that's welcome by Mark and Donnie. Maybe they want more input from other things and other people. You know, Donnie is, he's a guy that has always been great at evaluating European players. He has struggled at times evaluating the American college player. At least if you were to look at the Mavs draft history since he's been here. So from that standpoint, you know, maybe you want to have more eyes and ears and analytics and in terms of how to do the rotations. I think it's okay. But I think it's very, very wild how this has turned into quite the circus.
Cuban responded, calling it total BS on social media, said that the Athletic didn't really speak with him to the degree that he wanted. And he said the idea that we have a shadow general manager lurking in the background is laughable. The idea that anyone but Carlisle sets rotations is insulting. So that is Mark Cuban's response. The good news is, this isn't a big enough problem to stop Luka from re-signing here. Mm-hmm. Luka said he's signing the Supermax. This guy, Bob Vulgaris, who I had never heard of before yesterday, he has an expiring contract. I would expect that that contract is not renewed. But the author, one of the authors of this piece, you're going to hear from him at 7:20 this morning. And Gavin Dawson asked him a great question on G-Bag. Would Mark Cuban pick Bob Vulgaris over Luka Doncic, if it came down to it? I just don't want this to be a buddy-buddy system.
Right.
But there's a quote in here that's very reminiscent of Jerry Jones. Someone said, whoever talks to Mark Cuban the most or last usually has that opinion get carried through.
Jerry Jones, you know, gets blamed for everything that Mark Cuban actually does. Mark Cuban actually does what we think Jerry is at fault for, and Mark does it. You know, is he going to choose Bob Vulgaris over Luka? No, but he also doesn't have to right now. Luka Doncic is going to sign a 5-year extension. We all know this. He's not stupid. He's going to take his $200 million and he's going to suck it up for a couple years.
Yep.
He can figure out and wait out a way for this to work. What he can't do is A, lose Luka, and B, make Luka basically a monster. You know, if he were to sit here and just fire this guy, basically because of this article, because Luka doesn't like him, that you run the risk of creating a monster with your player. You also run the risk of alienating him if you don't do this. So you want to talk about a fine line and a very, very, very narrow and very thin patch of ice that they're standing on right now.
There was a tweet yesterday from Evan Massey that the Hornets are very intrigued by the possibility of trading for Kristaps Porzingis.
Give me Gordon Hayward. We'll do it right now.
Gordon Hayward for Porzingis?
Let's do it. I'm in.
One source stated the Hornets are very intrigued by the possibility of adding KP. They want to add a big man alongside LaMelo Ball and Terry Rozier. Porzingis would not bring the defensive presence that they would like, but he would add more offensive firepower and more star power in general. So they got a bad center rotation there with Charlotte. They've experimented with like PJ Washington with small ball at times, but this is a story that came out with another team. What we've heard, the Warriors, I can't remember, was it the Wizards that was thrown out yeah. there once? And now you have the Hornets, according to this report.
All right, so here's what we got. Gordon Hayward was a 20 point a night guy last year, 19-6, just about what Porzingis was. 6 rebounds a game, 42% almost from beyond the arc.
Mm.
Would you do, now he's also got injuries. He had that foot, the turned ankle.
He's
the very
30,
Dak Prescott.
And he's 31. I'm out. I'd rather keep KP. Well, which one is going to play more games over the next 3 seasons? I mean, I gotta say no to Hayward because of the age difference. What is that, a 5-year difference?
Yeah. 6.
Yeah. KP is 25. Nope. See ya.
All right, I agree. I'm out too. Just, you know.
But the I was intrigued before I remembered the age.
Yeah, I mean, like he's an okay player, and this is what you're gonna get though. Like, this is the type of player that you're gonna get in return for KP. You're gonna get another injured guy, maybe a little bit older. Somebody that you can't necessarily, that is going to be more high risk, but that's where you are. And that's why I think KP staying here and becoming the two is the more likely option than you trading for somebody and that person becoming the two.
NBA playoff action last night. They were down 18 points and the Atlanta Hawks came back.
Way out to Trey in the middle. Trey Young drives the lane. Trey's pass in the corner to John. 3-pointer. Good by John Collins.
John Collins was another Mav target that we heard about in the offseason. That was the call on Hawks radio, and we are now tied at 2 games apiece. Joel Embiid nursing a knee injury, 0-for-12 in the second half, and now we're squared up.
Squared up, and now it's got to be Hawks. If Joel Embiid's going to be hurt, Hawks have got to be the favorite in this series to make the Eastern Conference Finals. And the Hawks are doing this, and they did this with a bad shooting night. I mean, this was a stolen victory. Let's be fair. This was a stolen victory to be able to win a game where you don't shoot 40%. You shoot 36. You shoot 30% from 3-point line. That is not a very good shooting night, and you're able to get a win. And the Mavericks can't get wins, and they don't shoot very well, it seems like. Not many teams do, especially the playoffs, but the Hawks did. And now, Hawks... Bucks, if you had that on your bingo card for the East Finals, you're looking very, very good right now.
You know, these playoffs have been fun, though.
They have been fun.
I'm surprised.
Yeah.
LeBron, gone in the first round. Luka, Clippers, go to 7. Milwaukee, Brooklyn has been fun. Very disappointing that Kyrie and Harden are out tonight, unless you just want the Nets to be eliminated. Trae Young and Donovan Mitchell have taken the Jamal Murray breakout crown from last year. Like, Trae Young we knew was a star, but Donovan Mitchell and Trae Young, like, this has been their moment, just like it was for Jamal Murray last year.
Yeah, I mean, the breakout stars of the NBA playoffs, and Jamal Murray was there last year, and he's gone because of the injury, but his team's gone because he wasn't there. I mean, how different would this postseason look if not for all the injuries? It may be much more boring. because we would have the same old, same old.
Hawks win. How hurt is Embiid? And then the late game. This series now tied at two.
Kawhi makes his move. Oh,
oh wow.
A major Kawhi light.
Oh, my goodness.
Put a frame on that poster.
TNT with the call. Kawhi Leonard with a filthy, dirty dunk over Derek Favors. And the Clippers tie up the Jazz 118-104 as your boy Paul George scored 31 along with Kawhi's 31.
So has he shed the pandemic P label? Is he now playoff P again, or is he just P? Is he just PG?
Pandemic P? I got to go look. You know, when I was getting married, off for a week, I wasn't studying Paul George's game, but I know that you like to blow up narratives, and there is a Paul George choker narrative that has been out there.
Yep, it is. And, you know, the guy's, you know, averaging 20 points a game in his playoff career. Is that a choker label? When he's the one, yes, it is, but he's not a one. Like, he was an unfair one. And also pre-injury. There was a pre-injury Paul George and a post-injury. But, you know, it's just maddening to me that, you know, you labeled somebody this, and then every time he has a bad game, oh, it's Pandemic P. But when he goes for 31 in a crucial, crucial series-tying game, there's no playoff P label.
True.
It's only the bad.
True. The Rangers back in action tonight, taking on the armpit. Rangers-Astros right here in Houston on 105.3 The Fan.
You know, the road woes are gone. They got to win against the Dodgers. Okay, oh. Those road woes are all gone. And now it's just time for a sweep, as Sandler calls it, over the worst city in Texas.
The Astros are in second place in the division. They're 2.5 games behind Oakland. And we, of course, are in last place, 15 games back. How about Major League Baseball coming out with the punishment for the sticky icky? This was developing with Garrett Cole while I was out, but the punishment has been decided.
Yep, so 10 days is what they're going to do. If you are caught with a substance, a 10-day ban for you as a player. I am fine with this, but you know what? You better go ahead and ban batting gloves and pine tar for the hitters, too. Because if it's an advantage for a pitcher to be able to grip a cue ball, which is what a Major League Baseball is, then it's an advantage for the hitter to use batting gloves.
What did you say about Garrett Cole when he gave that really dumb answer?
It was a great answer. He didn't lie.
He should have lied. That's why it was dumb. He indicted himself.
Should he have lied?
Yes.
Yeah, he definitely, you know, he was like, I'm not going to lie. It was basically like, I'm not going to lie about this. Of course I do.
Yeah.
They all
do. I don't know if
what?
I don't quite know how to answer that.
Are you kidding me? Y'all didn't kill him for that? What a dumbass. Garrett Cole, what are you doing? Game one goes to Vegas. They destroy Montreal 4-1 in the NHL playoffs last night. So Vegas leads that series 1-0.
Vegas is the obvious favorite to that series, and I am fascinated to see how Tampa responds tonight against the Islanders, because Tampa's down 1-0 in that series, and the Islanders have been this kind of, you know, they got past Boston, and Tampa has just kind of run over everybody they faced.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
one of the guys who wrote this in-depth piece on the Mavs front office with this sports gambler that Mark Cuban hired back in 2018, joined the G-Bag Nation yesterday. Luka apparently not a fan. Apparently this guy, Bob Valgaris, was making draft picks, maybe has more power than Donnie Nelson, was deciding lineups and rotations for Rick Carlisle. Tim Cato from The Athletic joined the G-Bag Nation, and they started off by asking him what led to this story being put together.
League executives, you know, from other NBA teams are saying, I don't know who to communicate with necessarily. I don't know who's actually holding power. All of these things really seemed like they were, you know, starting to build up in a way, you know, in a water boiling over the stovepot way this summer. And so as I heard more about the story and finally got to a point where I was comfortable reporting it, it just felt like it was, you know, not, you know, it's not like me reporting this was going to dramatically change the way that, you know, this offseason was seen or viewed, at least internally, at least not privately.
Okay, so it just felt like this was simmering a little bit. We had on a reporter from Bleacher Report, and we talked to Tim McMahon, and, you know, it wasn't crazy drama here. It wasn't Cowboys drama, but it just something felt like it was going unsaid from reporters. Like, when we had that guy on, you could tell, and Tim Cato didn't want to go there either multiple times in the interview. It's like, there's just some things I can't say and I don't want to go there, or I couldn't get him confirmed. So it just felt like, and I don't know whether it was this or something else, it just felt like something was simmering in the background. Whenever we compare Cuban and Jerry, I think make the mistake, and Bassick doesn't make this mistake, and I think Kavanaugh goes pretty hard at Cuban as well. I always give Cuban more of a benefit of the doubt, because I think a lot of it has to do with his age difference and Shark Tank. I'm like, well, this guy's he's a young billionaire genius, and Jerry is this older, kooky, stubborn advertising genius. And I just give Cuban a break, and then these stories come out over the years. And I'm not just talking about like the really ugly stories. Well, maybe I should include it. The sexual allegations and screwing up the salary cap. And Mark just has this, he dismisses everything, him and Jerry, but just both dismiss everything with a smile. I think Cuban is more arrogant in the way that he does it, but I still, for some reason, like, give him more of a pass than Jerry in my mind. And it sounds like he may be a bigger voice in personnel and X's and O's stuff than Jerry is in Frisco.
Mark's the fan, the diehard fan who was able to live the dream of running his own franchise. That's what he is. Jerry is, he was a billionaire looking to make more money and also wants to run a team.
Yeah.
So both guys are cut from the same cloth.
Which of the two do you think has more impact or gets more involved in team personnel decisions? I'm talking about roster, talent, fits, substitutions, evaluations. Which one do you think gets more involved? I think it might be Cuban.
Well, I hope it's Jerry, because he's the actual general manager. I hope it's Jerry. It might be Mark, because Mark also gets involved with, like, you know, arguing with the refs on the court. He gets involved with everything. But he doesn't get involved with everything because, remember in that article a couple years ago, he doesn't know what's going on.
But the answer should be neither, right? And I also don't know if I want a 78-year-old Jerry Jones making decisions on, you know, who should be lining up in the 3-4 versus, I mean, 62-year-old Mark Cuban, who you would think would be a little bit sharper and you know, with it.
62 is ready to retire in a lot of worlds.
Yeah. Or 40.
Yeah. I know, right? But, man, I'll tell you know, Mark, we give Mark a pass on a lot of things because a couple of reasons. I think, one, we don't care about the Mavs as much as we care about the Cowboys.
True.
The Cowboys.
By the way, I don't think the Tolos give Mark a huge pass. I'm talking about it's been a mistake of mine, because Cuban gets crushed, you know, his political beliefs and the arrogance and, you know, you know, just cocky persona that he has. So I think Tolos have been fair at going at him, but I think I've had a little bit of a blind spot for some reason. Go ahead.
Yeah, because, you know, we value his ability to make money. You know, we see him, but, you know, there are billionaires out there, I'm sure, that aren't this. I mean, they're smart, no doubt, but what they say isn't infallible. They had a great idea, lucky idea. They got lucky. They made a ton of cash.
Yep.
And, you know, it's really easy to look smart when you can invest in a million companies
and hit and
make more money.
Right.
Nobody pays attention to the companies that you invest in that fail, you know, unless you're hated and they try to bring that up. But there's a million companies that Mark invests in that probably have done poorly.
Yeah.
But he doesn't need that. All he needs is a couple to really do really, really well, and he's going to improve his wealth.
Has this writer, Tim Cato from The Athletic, Cuban, immediately tweeted bull S and then kind of blasted the piece. Has Tim Cato heard from Cuban since putting this story out?
No, I haven't talked to him on the record for any reason.
Okay.
Probably shouldn't talk. Yeah.
Okay. And let me ask you this one then. Has anybody in the organization reached out to you and said, good job, or you nailed it, or any of that stuff?
Another one where I'll be vague and don't really want to go specific details, but look, I mean, it's obvious that there was tension and friction and just a haphazard way that this front office had put stuff together and was operating over the course of years. And nobody looks at this, and as we reported, Luka, his current desire is to stay long-term in Dallas. He's going to sign his extension. He said as much. But nobody wants to look back in 5 years and say, wow, we had Luka and we messed it up. Wow, you know, like we had a chance, we had our chance back to prominence. We had this perfect transition from Dirk Nowitzki to Luka Doncic, and you know he was upset with people, or you know there was dynamics at play that weren't addressed, or quite frankly, it can be as simple as saying they didn't put a good team around him, and that has to fall on the front office.
Listen, if
by the way, this is what I said throughout the entire year. Too Fish, too Bassic. The team around him just isn't good enough. Flat out, period. Anyone who looked at this talent and decided that if Jalen Brunson is your fourth best, third best player behind Tim Hardaway, then what are you watching? What are you talking about? The guy, 77, has to carry everything. And if he isn't putting up a triple-double or 30 a night, they lose. And that is why Mark Cuban, Donnie Nelson, Bob Valgaris, Rick Carlisle, whoever is responsible, that's why they are going to start feeling this heat. And I'm glad that Luka is putting it on them. I'm glad that Luka, hopefully, is not going to give them a Dirk pass, a free lifetime pass, or that you can surround me with whatever. And I just love the Metroplex so much, and I love going to my steakhouse so much that I'll pretend like I can't get any other steak throughout the rest of the country. I'm glad that I hope he puts the heat on them.
Well, look, he needs a number two, like a true two.
Yep.
And I said all year,
and they did make the effort with Porzingis. They've just missed on it.
It's missed, yeah. And I said all year, like, the Mavs role players are no different than the Lakers. And what happened when Anthony Davis went down? Lakers couldn't even beat the Suns. They could do nothing in the playoffs. A lot of teams have role, like the Mavs. Issues is not Brunson to me. It's not Hardaway. It's not Finney Smith. It's Porzingis.
Yes,
Porzingis has not been the two. Now, that doesn't mean that you dump him. It, to me, and this is just the coach in me, because I am a coach. So you see me wearing my jersey today.
Oh, the Colleyville Titans.
We got another game. We got two more games today, because why not? It's the middle of the week, and I'm in trouble because I didn't take the day off of work. Oh, yeah. Coach yelled at me. I said, take the day off. You're coaching.
Was he serious?
Yeah.
What's his name?
I don't know.
What's he do?
He's got a lot of things. He's in a lot of things.
Okay.
He's in a lot of things.
All right, coach, shut up.
All these other parents here are taking the day off. Why aren't you taking the day
get
off?
Make sure there's enough AC and water out there and take care of the orange slices.
Did you see that?
And shut up.
Did you see that? The porticool?
Yeah. Impressive.
Man, very impressive.
100,000 watt stations to take the day off. Mavs blockbuster story. Shut
I know,
up.
Right? So, where was I? Yeah. Coaching. Like, to me, the coach in me is like, if he's not doing good, that's my problem. That's my fault that you're not doing good. I need to put you in a better position to succeed. I need to figure out how to use you. It's not your fault for stinking. you stink because I'm not doing something right. And the Mavericks have to figure out how to use Porzingis. They have to. They can't. It is evident. They cannot just have him sit there on the wing and not move and wait for a basketball to be thrown to him.
Spot up.
That's not what he is. If you want to make him a floor spacer, and he's even upset about that, he's not a floor spacer. He doesn't want to be a floor spacer. You want to have a malcontent? Watch Kristaps Porzingis next year if you do the same thing with him again.
Tim Cato from The Athletic on with the G-Bag Nation. He wrote the piece that everyone's talking about. How much did Luka like or dislike this Bob Valgaris character?
You know, there was the moment detailed right at the front where he yells at Bob on the sidelines. You know, sources say Bob was, you know, he believed that was a, you know, just a misunderstanding. It wasn't meant at him. But it wasn't that moment. It wasn't like it was one incident, two incidents specifically that, you know, Luka was just unforgiving and was like, no, you meant this and I don't like you now. Like this had been, you know, this is something that had been building, you know, and whatever, you know, I wish I'd been able to report more about, you know, and I just didn't have, you know, it wasn't something that I wanted to put in and didn't feel comfortable. It was just, you know, I didn't hear, you know, I couldn't get people to explain all the details in terms of what exactly, you know, went down. But it's clear that, you know, this person and what he represented to Luka was not someone that, you know, Luka was too fond of. I think the reporting makes that clear. And so the big question becomes like, you know, why was that the case? And how do you go forwards with a franchise player who is the most powerful person, you know, or at least I should say not most powerful, but he's the one that every decision has to be made. And all the time when you're looking to the future, you have to examine the future through the lens of Luka. And you know, if this is the way he feels, then yeah, it's an issue.
This guy looks like a poker player, a seedy character.
Oh, Bob,
sitting there at the poker table. He looks like that guy that you like that I hate. The rest of us all hate. Gosh, the guy who's getting Limbaugh's show. What is that name of that?
Who? Oh, Clay Travis?
Clay Travis. This guy looks like Clay Travis a little bit in the face.
Oh, my God, he does.
Doesn't he? Am I crazy?
Jeez.
Looks like that weasel liar snake, Clay Travis. But, yeah, this Bob Valgaris, 46-year-old former poker player. And then what about the accusation that he's controlling Carlisle, the great Rick Carlisle, the offensive genius, is getting lineup cards and rotations handed to him by this gambler?
How much of a say did he have, even if it was presented in that manner, how much of a say did he have in saying, okay, but I feel I should do this the other way. And, you know, but I don't have the freedom to do it. And I have to adapt how I coach this team and how I do lineups, rotations, whatever, you know, I have to adapt that to, you know, how they're being dictated to me in some ways by someone who has the influence he has. And players definitely said that, and you know, players definitely felt that those rigid lineups were because of that. And that's another thing that I reported in the piece, is just that, you know, players grew very frustrated because they thought that these rigid standards that were being presented to them by Carlisle, you know, were being, you know, were being presented not even directly by Carlisle himself, but rather, you know, someone with more influence and power that Rick needed to listen to.
Whew. You know, it's happening around sports with the lineup dictation, and we see it in baseball. Just about every team, I would say most teams in baseball. I don't want to say dictated. It is a group effort, but it is kind of just the unspoken. This is the best way to do it. If you want to go and you want to go off script, that's on you. If we lose. And the best way for these guys to keep their job is to just do whatever the actual script says and what the numbers say. Do this way, we'll be fine. We're not going to get mad at you if you put your closer in, he blows a save.
I'd like to ask Jeff Bannister about the reality of being handed a lineup card. Was he handed the line?
He would tell you no.
To get another job? Or that John Daniels didn't give him the lineup card?
That he didn't give him a lot. He would say that they all sat down before the game. Him, John, the analytics staff.
Okay.
Sat down before the game. They went over the information. The analytics staff would explain why their thought process was such in this.
That's all fair.
Yeah. And they would come to an agreement on what to do. Because Banny was in charge of, like, you know, let's just say, for example, the catcher has caught, you know, five straight games in Texas. outdoors at the old ballpark. He knows the team. Guys, this guy needs a day. This guy needs a day. This guy's out. Keep him out today. This pitcher's, you know, throwing too many pitches. This bullpen guy, we need to keep him out. And then they would modify their lineups.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Who's coming to Texas?
Arch Manning. He had a visit, an official visit, Troy Hughes, to Austin, Texas. And he loved it, apparently.
Now, let's just explain who Arch Manning is real quick.
Arch Manning,
if you're not aware. Do you have his biography and Wikipedia page tattooed on your lower back like the other Manning boys?
Now, that I do not have. Okay. But Arch Manning is the nephew of Peyton and Eli Manning. Arch Manning is
the son of Cooper.
The son of Cooper. The other Manning.
Yes.
He's already 6'4", 200 pounds.
Woo!
He's a big kid. And he's got a ways to go in order to get to where he wants to be. With, you know, because he's still got a couple years of high school left. And he is going on recruiting trips everywhere. He was at Clemson spinning the ball last week, throwing dimes.
That's where I'd go.
Well, that's on the list. That's one of the teams on the top of his list. But the other one at the top of his list, there's a couple more. One is Stanford, underdog, and one is Texas. And apparently he is in love with Sark.
Oh.
Absolutely loves Sark.
Really?
And knowing the Manning family as well as I do, Troy, I did interview Archie once at a Super Bowl in 2008.
Well.
We did a walk and talk about Gatorade. And I was like, why are you doing Gatorade here? Your son refuses to drink Gatorade. He's not going to go to Ole Miss, and he's not going to go to Tennessee. He is not going to go live in the shadow of his uncles. That's just not going to happen. The Manning family doesn't do that. They're too smart for that. So it's basically down to Texas, Clemson, and Stanford. I don't know that they do Clemson. Okay. I don't know.
Why not? Why not go there? They are right there with Alabama, Deshaun Watson, Trevor Lawrence. Bam. Easy.
Because you know, the Mannings do not want to go somewhere and not get credit.
Okay.
And if they go to Clemson and win, they're just another in the line of people that went to Clemson and won.
A Dabo product, like a Lincoln Riley product.
Right. But if you go to Texas and say, could you imagine? With the last name that he has and the pedigree that he has and the hype that he has, this is probably one of the most hyped. I can't think of a more hyped sophomore in high school since LeBron James.
Mm. Oh, any sport.
Bryce Harper?
I don't know when Bryce was hyped, but Bryce was on the cover of SI.
And he graduated early. He graduated at 17, like a year early, so he could go to the pros.
Tiger was probably bigger.
Tiger, yes, absolutely. But we knew this guy as a freshman.
Yeah.
In eighth grade, we knew him. And could you imagine if he goes to the University of Texas with all their fans?
It'd be like LeBron to the Knicks in his prime.
It absolutely would be. And then he would, go there and win them a title.
Woo! That's the legend to be made.
That's the legend. So I think it's the University of Texas. People are saying, Bama's definitely in it. Yes, Bama is in it. Georgia has a visit too. The family is very SEC heavy, so you have to put the SEC teams, at the top of the list. I think you can, I think you can write off Ole Miss and Tennessee because I don't think he's going to go follow in the footsteps of his uncles. You can obviously write off your Kentuckys and your Vandys and your Mississippi States and your Arkansas's and Missouri's. A&M, you can't write A&M off. You win A&M a title for the first time since what, 1939?
Since the war.
I mean, you want to talk about that? That is huge. That is huge. And Peyton was at the Tennessee A&M game, so he's got a little bit of familiarity down there. Eli has been at A&M games before. So there's familiarity with the family.
Because they've been to the games?
They've been to the games.
Yeah. Without question.
There's a tie. That matters.
There's a connection. They've seen the stadium.
Yeah. It's very close to New Orleans.
I'm actually watching a video of what Manning did over the weekend. He was thrown, by the way, to Jonte Cook. He is the wideout from DeSoto High School that is leaning towards Texas right now. So that was his receiver. And he threw a dime to him. And by that, it was 70 yards on the nose.
Is the throw out there?
Yeah. Ooh. It's a video. It's a 70-yard bomb. Perfect. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, it's really not fair. I mean, we're going to come to a point where, like, it's like, guys, like, this guy's got the ultimate coaches that he could possibly ask for. It's, like, not fair.
Who cares? Hype it up. It's fine.
Hype it up. Absolutely hype it up. So, I think there's a real good chance that he goes to Texas. I think Stanford is a massive player. Like, they're huge, huge player. But there are some schools that are just out, but Texas is definitely not one of them.
All right, so that's the latest on Arch Manning and what he's being hyped up as, like, the next.
Big time. Big time. He'll be the number one recruit or number two or three. I mean, they may have some defensive end that is just this freak athlete like a Myles Garrett, but he is going to be one of the top two or three recruits. He'll be clearly the number one quarterback available. And he is just going to be Trevor Lawrence part two.
Around the NFL notes, Jalen Ramsey recruiting Stephon Gilmore, who we had fun with when it came to a Cowboys rumor a few months ago that was just recklessly thrown out there. But Jalen Ramsey noticing that Stephon Gilmore skipping Patriots practice. Now he's rehabbing from a partially torn quad, but he also wants a new contract because somehow, some way, Belichick is only paying Stephon Gilmore $7 million
this
season.
Criminal.
$7 million. So he is sitting out like Aaron Rodgers is in Green Bay. And Jalen Ramsey went on Twitter and said, "Yo, what's good, man? What's good, my dog?" He also reminded Stephon Gilmore that Mookie Betts left Boston for L.A. and won a ring because of it. So the Rams already have an awesome defense. They got Darius Williams. They got Jalen Ramsey. And he is trying to recruit Stephon Gilmore to L.A.
And also, don't forget, Jalen Ramsey just paid a lot of money to change his number. He will no longer be wearing number 20. He will now be number 5. And Ramsey had to pay about $330,000 to buy out those jerseys from the NFL.
$330,000. And then LeBron changed his number to 6?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why?
Going back to the Miami Heat days.
Okay.
I mean, maybe there's a, I think Troy said it, there's a space, maybe a Space Jam. That's what the number is going to be Space Jam.
It's probably a tie into the Space Jam release.
Oh, yeah. One more thing on Texas. Did you see the athletic director taking Jell-O shots after they advanced to the College World Series?
What?
Everyone is loving the spirit and fun of the College World Series. And the Texas AD, I saw the video, it was a red Jell-O shot that he took. Although, I was surprised. Maybe the Heat loosened it up because you really got to get your tongue going on a Jell-O shot.
Dang right, you.
You got to get. I can edit that. You got to get your tongue in a circular motion.
Oh yeah.
You know, on the fan cam, it's just And around and around. You got to loosen it up.
That's a good one, too.
And then you got to take it down whole in one gulp.
Look, if I was a girl, I would see how a guy does a Jello shot before I even date him. That'd be the first thing I do on a date.
By the way, what is y'all's go-to for the Jello shot? Is it vodka?
Oh, good question.
I assume that was the only thing you've ever put in there.
No, not a chance.
Everclear.
Okay. Dude, who doesn't love Jello shots?
Oh, I love them.
They're amazing.
Yeah.
They're fantastic.
Wonderful.
And he's sitting there taking them after the Longhorns advance.
I do feel like there's an age where, like, I'll have them, but there's an age where you can't really make them at home anymore.
I've never made them. Are they hard? I mean...
No, it's not hard. It's easy to make. It's easy to make.
The pouring into the little cups. It's a pain.
But like, I think if you're like, I don't know, if you're like 40, can you like have a house party and make Jello shots?
I think
so.
Or
are you over the age where you could do that?
What is over the age? Is beer pong over the age? Did you stay for the post party when beer pong broke out in the house?
No, I did not stay.
Why not?
We kept moving houses and I was like, look, I'm just going home.
Hey, you know, I feel like you were like the old
Spittle was there. He wanted to ride home. I feel like you were
an old man there. Like you came,
right?
You attended, and then you were like,
what?
Because Spittle wanted to ride home. You're not contractually obligated to do that.
He wanted out.
Also, 6 a.m. wake up call for a flight.
Okay,
you know, just had to get out of the house.
Yeah. Wait, you're talking about playing beer pong?
Beer pong
at your wedding reception?
Post party.
Okay, all right.
Can you do that? Can you do flip cup? I'm talking about the age of 40. Can you do flip cup?
Beer pong. Flip cup.
Jello shots.
Yeah.
Keg stand.
I'm not getting upside down.
I'm not either.
I'm not getting upside down. Not doing that. I would have my blood pressure would drop if I did that. Not happening. But beer pong, yes. Flip cup, yes. The problem with your thing is they wanted to do this beer pong on easily a 75-year-old dining room table.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I told his brother, I was like, dude, let me just tell you right now.
Yeah.
Big mistake.
Yeah, we're going to be on ridiculousness.
This is a $10,000 table. Easily. Yeah. Do not do beer pong on this table.
Yeah.
This thing's an antique.
Yeah.
And his brother was clearly not listening to a word that we had to say.
No one had, not listening to anything ever for the entire weekend. All right. It's Sean and RJ here on DFW Sports Station.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.